So last week, I gave you some statistics on the differences between men and women. So, and today, I just want to give you a couple more, okay? So research tells us that the average man loses his temper 6 times a week, and the average woman only loses her temper 3 times a week. Women get angry more often at people, but men get angry at things, like when things break, like machines and stuff. Single adults express anger twice as often as married adults, and men are more physical with their anger than women, or who are more likely to express their anger at home than anywhere else. If we've never met, my name is Clay Munkus, and I'm one of the pastors here at Next Level, and we've been in a series kind of going through the book of Proverbs, and we're calling this series Foolproofing Your Life. And today, we're going to look at what I call Taming Your Temper. So to jump in, let's look right away at some of the wisdom that Solomon gives us about our temper, and he writes this down in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32. Here's what he says. It's better to be slow-tempered than famous. It's better to have self-control than to control an army. There's an interesting story, speaking of armies, about Alexander the Great. One day, in a fit of rage, he struck his favorite general, who also happened to be his best friend, and he hit him so hard that he killed him. And afterwards, history tells us that he cried and cried and said, I've conquered the world, but I can't even conquer my own soul. Now, maybe you haven't killed anyone, at least I hope not, but have you ever done anything in anger so badly that you regret it? I bet we've all have our regrets when it comes to anger. So in order to avoid that happening again, here's what I want to look at this week. How do I tame my temper? How do I tame my temper? Proverbs says it's really pretty easy to do, at least to speak it out. Now, in action, it might be a little harder. But the first thing that Proverbs tells us to do, number one, is to remember the results. If I'm going to tame my temper, remember the results. Every time you blow up, there's consequences, negative consequences. So you remember the results. And when you remember all the negative effects that it has, it can cause you to calm down. In line with that, let's look at quite a few verses here that Solomon has to say about this idea of calming down and taking a break. In Proverbs chapter 29, 22, he says, a hot-tempered man gets into all kinds of trouble. Then in chapter 15, verse 18, he says, hot tempers cause arguments. In 14:29, he says, anger causes mistakes. And then one more here in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 17. People with hot tempers do foolish things. Will Rogers says it this way. I kind of love this quote. He says, people who fly into a rage seldom make a good landing. When you lose your temper, you always lose. You lose more than your temper. You can lose respect. You can lose health. You can lose your job. You can lose your wife, husband, kids. You lose. This is why in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 29, it says, the fool who provokes his family to anger and resentment will finally have nothing worthwhile left. Anger starts first in the family, and it can have devastating effects. I read an article called When You Feel Like Screaming, and what they did in this kind of study, they studied 9 to 12-year-old kids, and they asked them two questions. What do you like most about your mother, and what do you dislike most about your mother? And although the answers to the first question, as you can imagine, were varied, you know, like this or that, the second answer was not varied. It was almost unanimous. Almost every child used the phrase, the thing I don't like most is her screaming. I can't stand it when she screams. Why is it that we scream? Why do we lose our temper? Well, because honestly, it works. There's a short-term effect. Psychologists know this. When you yell and get angry at somebody, most of the time, most people will comply just out of fear. But in the long run, you lose. Anger begins to alienate you. And in the long run, you can lose the relationship. So what Solomon's saying through Proverbs here is, if you're going to tame your temper, first you have to remember the results, right? It always causes negative effects. The second thing is you need to reflect before reacting, right? Reflect before reacting. Before you impulsively respond, you calm down, you cool down, you defer the anger and you delay. You reflect before you react. Don't respond impulsively. Think it through first. Here's what Solomon has to say in Proverbs 29:11. A stupid man gives free rein to his anger. a wise man waits and lets it grow cool. Notice, it says that your anger should grow cool. One of the greatest remedies for anger is delay. The longer you hold your temper, the more it improves. If you let it off immediately, generally it's going to be bad news. But the longer you hold it, the better it gets. Thomas Jefferson, he said this, when you're angry, you count to 10. When you're very angry, you count to 100, right? That's where we get that from. And I would add this, if you're still angry, just keep on counting. Anything you can do to delay, defer, so you can reflect before reacting. Whatever you were going to do initially, don't do it, right? Some of you might think, well, I just can't do that. Yes, you can. You just don't want to control it. Anger is a choice. You ever been in an argument with, you know, your husband, wife, boss, mother, father, or seen your mom or parents do this? You know, there's yelling and arguing, and all of a sudden the phone rings, and that person, or maybe it's you, been yelling and screaming, and you answer the phone, and boom, instant change. Hello, right? You control what you want to control. The Bible says a wise man waits and lets it grow cool. So, Solomon also says this in chapter 12, verse 16, when a fool is annoyed, he quickly lets it be known. Smart people will ignore an insult. For some people, everything is life and death. They can't ignore anything. A small pot boils quickly, they say. When you get upset, it shows the depth of your character and how big of a person that you are or that you aren't. So, what does it take to upset you? Look again here in chapter 19, verse 11, where Solomon says this, when someone wrongs you, it's a great virtue to ignore it. Maturity is the ability to overlook a hurt. Maturity is the ability to disregard it, to shrug it off, to play it down. The best example of this really was Jesus. He was libeled, slandered, criticized, put down, misunderstood, yet he never retaliated. And the whole point of today's message, kind of the whole point of what Solomon wants to say is this. Nothing can make you mad. You choose. Let me say this again. For those that missed it, maybe need to come back from the kitchen or whatever. Nothing can make you mad. You choose, right? You get to choose. Don't blame anything or anybody else on your anger. If you put two people in the same situation, one person can get mad and one person does not. Why? It's the way they interpret it. It's the way they look at it, the way they choose to respond. You make me so mad. No, nothing makes you mad. It's your choice to get mad. You choose the way you respond. Earlier this week, I was heading out somewhere, and I was feeling a little rushed to get there when an LOL pulled out in front of me. You know what LOLs are, right? Little old ladies, right? She nearly caused a multiple car accident, and I was really upset by it. I was really ticked off. I was frustrated. And I was getting more and more upset, and then I had this thought. Someday that's my mother. And all of a sudden, I kind of had a new perspective. It changed my attitude. You need to ask this question when you're irritated. Is this really a big deal? Is it worth being upset over? Every minute that you're angry, you lose 60 seconds of happiness. You need to ask yourself, is this worth giving up my happiness for? Is it that big of a deal? Yeah, if you've been married long enough, you learn this, that some things in marriage just aren't worth arguing over. Some things aren't worth fighting. One of General Patton's, one of the great generals of World War II, one of his rules was never fight a battle where you don't gain anything by winning. Know what battles to fight and know what battles aren't worth fighting. Solomon puts it this way in Proverbs 17:27. People who stay calm have real insight. And what Solomon is telling us is simply this. The more you understand, the more understanding you'll be. The more you understand, the more understanding you'll be. The key is to controlling, this is the key to controlling your anger. People who stay calm have real insight. The more I understand my kids, the more I'm understanding of my kids. The more I understand my wife, the more I'm understanding of my wife. The more I understand the people that I work with, the more understanding I am of the people that I work with. Okay, you get the idea. You need to try and analyze your anger and say, why is this ticking me off? Why is this making me so upset? Why is this bothering me so much? Because anger is never really the problem. Anger is just kind of a warning light that's there on the dashboard of your life, you know, of something that's not being met. Anger is not the real issue. Let me give you the top three reasons that people get angry, just so you can have some understanding of what might be going on inside you below the surface of your anger. Primarily, people get angry for three reasons. And the first one is this: people get angry because they're hurt. Right? You get angry because you're hurt. Hurt causes anger. When you're physically, spiritually, or emotionally hurt, you get angry. The second reason people get hurt is because you're frustrated. When nothing seems to work, when you're forced to wait, when things just don't go as planned, well, you're frustrated and you get angry. The third reason is because you're insecure. When you're threatened, when you're afraid, when your self-worth is attacked, that causes anger. And here's something to consider. A lot of times, if you're married, a lot of times in your marriage, you think you're angry. You're not really angry, you're insecure. You think, well, my needs aren't being met. I'm losing the relationship. Maybe somebody's walking out on me. She's not listening, he's not listening. It's really that you're just really insecure. If you learn to deal with your hurt, if you learn to deal with your frustration, to deal with your insecurity, your relationships will get better. I guarantee it, right? When you deal with those three things, the anger just reduces dramatically. That's why Solomon says, people who stay calm have real insight. They look and figure out, why am I ticked off? What's making me so upset? Is it that I'm hurt or frustrated or insecure? And then you deal with one of those issues. Well, the third thing that Solomon tells us to tame our temper is this: restrain my remarks. Restrain my remarks. Just maybe your mama told you this. I mean, Solomon's telling you this. Watch your words. Solomon says this in Proverbs 21:23. If you want to stay out of trouble, be careful what you say, right? Blowing your stack only creates air pollution. It doesn't do a whole lot of good. A sharp tongue is the quickest way to cut your own throat. Or maybe you've heard, use sweet words because you may have to eat them eventually. Watch what you say. The problem is that words, boy, they just come real easy when we're angry, don't they? When your adrenaline is pumping and you're thinking of everything. When I get angry, let me just tell you, I'm brilliant. Sometimes I can think of the most sarcastic, hurtful thing to be able to say, but it's only going to cut myself off too. You have to watch what you say. Have you ever said anything in anger and then just immediately regretted it? I bet you have. Proverbs says if you're smart, you restrain your words. Also in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1, it says this: a gentle answer quiets anger, but harsh ones stir it up. Whatever you do, or whenever you're angry, resist using sarcasm, because harsh words escalate the problem, while soft words de-escalate the tension. A gentle answer, he says, quiets anger. Whose anger does it quiet? Well, first, it's yours, it's mine. The louder you talk, the angrier you get. If you want to turn down the anger, turn down the volume. Just start talking quieter. You'll be quieter. When you get loud, your anger gets loud. Right? There's another principle that this verse teaches, and it's this: anger is contagious. I think we've all figured this out. Anger is contagious. It's infectious. If you get it, you'll give it to other people. If other people get it, you'll probably get it. If somebody's continually angry at you, eventually you're going to get angry at them because it's contagious. So it says, whatever you sow, you're going to reap. If you sow harsh words, you're going to reap harsh words back. If you want soft words spoken to you, then you need to say soft words towards others. Because whatever you sow, you're going to reap. It is contagious. It's a well-known fact that children learn from the models that they observe. We know that. And what this says is, as parents, every time you lose your temper, you're teaching your kids how to get angry. Every time you lose your cool, you're modeling how to deal with anger for your kids. And you will reap what you sow. I will reap what I sow. It's a law of life. And so the Bible says that we need to remember the results. It only causes damage. And we need to reflect before reacting. Calm down. Wait. Delay. then we need to restrain our words and remarks so that we don't say all these angry kind of things. Because however you do it, you're modeling this for your kids. Tommy Volt was a famous golfer and doing a pro clinic one day. And he kind of had his 14-year-old son with him. And he wanted to show off to all his friends around him. So he said, "Hey, son, show them what I taught you." So his son walked over to his golf bag, obediently pulled out a 9-iron, and just tossed it into the sky. Be mindful of what you're modeling your children. They are always watching. And maybe you're the kind of person that does not outwardly express your anger, or rather, you push it down. If so, that's not healthy either. When you swallow your anger, let me tell you, your stomach keeps score. When you don't talk it out, when you're just taking it out, you know, and you take it out in your body, you're going to have all kinds of problems. The number one prescribed drug in America right now, you can look it up, is Nexium. It's a drug for stomach acid problems. I think that has a lot to say about our society. When you hear, that just burns me up. There are biochemical changes in your body when you swallow anger. It's not what you eat. It's what you're eating that's making a difference, right? Don't repress your anger. On the other hand, you don't express it either. Some people get angry and they go out and kind of vomit on everybody that's around them, and maybe they begin to feel better, but not everybody else. This is never good for the relationship. That, in fact, is actually a great way to destroy your relationships, because anger always alienates. So what do? If you can't repress it and then you can't express it, what do? Well, the Bible begins to tell us that you confess it. You confess. I confess my anger to God. When you get angry, you just kind of unload on God. If you want a model for this, read the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms, in many of the Psalms, David is just sounding off about all his problems. Lord, life stinks. I hate it. Why aren't you doing anything? Why don't you have a nuclear blast to just destroy my enemies? At one point, he says in there, God, why haven't you smashed their babies against the wall? I remember that and thinking, well, how could this be? I mean, that's not the God that I know. And then I realized, well, you know, the Bible tells the truth. It tells the good and the bad. It never covers up, right? When it's telling this about David, it tells all the good things that he does, but it also tells us all of his bad attitudes. God doesn't get on to David for doing that. He lets him sound off. He lets him just blow off steam. He's confessing rather than repressing or expressing. He's confessing his anger to God, and he gets it all out to him. And when he gets it all out, God can then begin to fill him with love, joy, peace, patience, and those kinds of things. God's Spirit wants to fill you, but first you have to be emptied. Confess it, empty out all the anger and hurt and distrust and hurt feelings, and then you're ready for God to fill you. And in Galatians chapter 5, it says that the fruit of the Spirit is, one of them, patience. Do you need patience? Well, that's the fruit of the Spirit. The more God is in your life, the more patient you're going to be. Some of you are like a pot, and you're filled all the way to the brim with stress, anxiety, tension, anger, hurt, and you're about to spill over. And you're so full that anytime anything jostles you just a little bit, it's anger that spills out. You blow up. You're so uptight, filled with all these pressures and stress, that anytime anything slightly jostles you, it just spills out on all the people around you, and people get hurt. What does God want to do? He wants to take that vessel, and he wants to pour out all of the anger and the hurt and the stress and the problems, and then he wants to fill it with his love, joy, peace, patience. That's called the fruit of the Spirit. And when God is in control of your life, those things start manifesting. Then when the world puts on the pressure, and it will, when the world puts you in the squeeze, what's going to come out is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, instead of all of the anger and ugliness. He does this by helping us deal with the root problems. You see, again, anger is not your problem. It's just the warning light that you're hurting, that you're frustrated, maybe that you're insecure. That's the problem. Jesus wants to work on those things. He wants to heal your hurt with his love. Maybe you've been abused. Maybe you've been unloved. Maybe you've been rejected, walked out on, or unwanted. Jesus really cares. Your pain really matters to God. Your pain matters to Jesus. He wants to replace that hurt with his love, because when you stop hurting, you'll stop hurting others. You'll start being able to love because that's what you're filled with. Jesus also wants to replace all of that frustration that you have with peace. Many times, over and over, as we go through his story, it says, "My peace I give you, not as the world gives." Okay? That peace is fake and phony. The peace that passes understanding is what he wants to produce in your life. In the middle of a chaos, you can have peace of mind. It's not peace without chaos, it's peace in the middle of chaos. Jesus wants to replace your insecurity with his power, his confidence, his security. His power begins to replace your insecurity. When you realize how loved you are by God and how he has a plan for your life and he's in control of your life, then you find your insecurity levels just going down. And with it, the anger dissipates. When somebody comes along and irritates you or pulls in front of you on the highway or ticks you off in some way or insults you, it just doesn't matter what other people think. Because you can say, hey, if I like me, God likes me and Jesus likes me, well, it doesn't really matter if that person likes me. That's the kind of confidence that lowers the temper in your life. You don't have to feel threatened by your wife or your husband because your value comes from God. That's what he wants to do in your life. Hey guys, let's pray together and ask God to help us with this. So Heavenly Father, we all need help controlling our temper. So today I'm asking you to heal my hurt so that I can stop hurting other people. Would you fill me with your love? So when the world puts on the pressure, love is what comes out. And Jesus, I'm asking that you replace my frustration with your peace. Jesus, replace my insecurity with your power. Give me a sense of confidence that comes from you, not from what I wear or what I do or how I act or how I look. And if you're watching today and you've never said yes to Jesus having control of your life, and maybe today you want to, just simply say something like, Jesus, come in and be the manager of my life. I need your help. I want to live for you. I want to believe in you. Just say that in your heart. Hey, Jesus, I want you to be number one. That's the first step. You'll never tame your temper on your own. You need a power greater than yourself. And for all of us, Father, I pray for you to help me remember that I always lose when I lose my temper. Help me to restrain my remarks, to offer a gentle answer rather than a harsh one, and be careful of what I say. Now, some of you, today, you may need to go to your family and apologize. That would be a healthy response to a message like this. And if needed, I would encourage you to do it. And don't wait, do it today. Let them know that you've been using harsh words and that you want to change, and ask them to pray that you'll be able to change. So, Heavenly Father, for help those of us who need it, to have the courage to face our tempers, I pray that these words would make a difference in our life. That we would just not hear them, that we would be doers of your word this week. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, hey friends, thanks for joining us today. Before you head out into whatever you have in your day, could I ask you to do me a favor? If you think today's message might be valuable to someone that you know, would you mind sharing this video? Not only could it be helpful for them, but by sharing this content as well as liking and subscribing to this channel, you help us accomplish our mission to raise the reputation of Jesus wherever we are. And along those lines, could I ask you also to head over to our website, nextlevelchurch.org/give. Choose one of those giving options there. Just know that every dollar that you give, make sure that your church is prepared more than ever to fund our mission to raise the reputation of Jesus where we live, work, and play. We really do appreciate your giving to God here. And by way of benediction, let me read the verse that we've been reading through this whole series. James chapter 1, verse 22, the brother of Jesus says this, "But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves." May you this week ask God for wisdom. May you put it into practice. May you become wise. May your tempers come down. And may God bless you in by lowering your temper, that you would be a blessing to everyone that's around you. Hey guys, have a blessed week. We'll see you every day on all of our social channels. Just know that I'm praying for you. My staff is praying for you. No matter what you have going on, God loves you and we love you.